Okay, I think we're going to get started so that we get done on time. Because last week, we barely got done in time. Okay, before we get started, let's open up with a word of prayer. Eric, do you mind opening this up in prayer? Yeah. If you sit closest to the teacher, you get called on to pray.
God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning, and we just pray that as we discuss our finances and how to best steward what you provided for us, that you would just help expose ways that we could improve and ways that we could be more faithful to you and more in line with what you're doing to be working in our community and beyond. So we ask for your help in that. We ask that you would just be with Craig as he helps facilitate this morning, and that you would just give him clarity to speak to our hearts. And we just, again, thank you for the chance we have this morning together. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so last week we started our class on stewardship, and we're going to be going this week, and next week will be our last week on stewardship. So there's actually quite a few people that weren't here last week that are here this week. So I wanted to just review on a couple things, but for the sake of the class, we talked a lot last week about how the church works and how money coming into the church, our responsibility as a church, our methodology as a church, our theology as a church on how we spend money. We spent a lot of time in that, and kind of the definition that we started with was stewardship is the recognition that all things ultimately belong to God, and humans are called to wisely manage time, talents, treasures, and creation in a way that honors him. So the main point that we kind of pulled from that was God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our church's money. Yet we have the wonderful opportunity to glorify him as we spend our money. Any other things that people caught last week that maybe stood out or were meaningful to them or something that was different that they hadn't thought about from last week when we were talking about how the church uses money? Anything?
I think I mentioned this to you, Greg, yeah. But I really appreciated the simple idea that establishing and administering the budget is pastoral work.
Yeah.
And that was new to me because I always kind of separated the numbers world from the relational world of people. But I can see from the lesson last week how they are really intricately tied.
Yeah. We talked a lot about how the local church, our call as the local church, was from Matthew, where we're called to disciple, we're called to go out, and our budget should reflect our theology and what is important to us as a church. And then we also talked through just some different elements of what makes up our budget and why those different areas, why staffing's important, why missions is important, why programs, and just kind of how we weigh those things out and focus on those. But number one thing that we really got from that was we want our budget to reflect who God is and how we view God. That's how the world's going to see. When we look at our budget, it should reflect how we see him. And it's a statement to the world, and it's an opportunity, just like it says in this statement. Our goal in this is to glorify God through how we spend our money as a church. So today, I was going to leave it for any other questions we had from last week, but we're going to try to give a little bit more time for questions at the end today. But today we're going to focus in on, now we've talked about church, how does it work for the giver, for the giving? What are we called to be stewards as givers? So taking it one step down, I've told you how the church spends their money. So now I'm going to talk about how we give. Now, just like we did last time, I kind of started it with talking about what are some of the pros and cons of talking about money and church and budget. So this week I'd like to talk about or start off with what would be some pros and cons about teaching a class on giving? Like, what are some of the dangers? And what are, let's start with that. Like, what are the dangers?
People suspect your motives.
Yes.
like more money.
I hope you're all ready to be guilted into this class of how much you should be giving. That is one of the dangers in there. And I also talked about it in our last class, how this was very timely because we're actually doing really great as a church right now. We're actually ahead of budget. Our budget's, we're under budget when it comes to spending. We're over budget when it comes to giving. But that's one of the things. Like, first time you hear there's a class on money, everybody's like, oh, that's going to be the guilt trip class. One of the things I talked about, also, Whitten, we don't talk about money a lot. And you don't see, you know, plates being passed. You don't hear a lot of calls from the front about, hey, we need more money, these things. So we do want to spend time talking about money. What are some of the other dangers about talking about giving?
It becomes transactional. If I give God this amount of money, then God will give me this amount of blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. What else?
It can become like legalistic.
Yeah. There's some legalism that could get pulled into there. There's also some pride issues. There could also be some prosperity type gospel in there. Like, you guys should live. Your life will just be better if you donate a little bit more. What are some of the benefits to talking about giving as a church?
Nobody's guessing what expectations are or yeah. what God says about it.
Yeah.
Jesus talked a lot about money.
Yeah. It's actually one of the main things. I'm like when you actually look at number of verses and where it comes up, it came up a lot in the Gospels. Money was a big thing.
It reminds us that all of life is an act of worship to God.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Also, it's something that we talked about this last week, but we all deal with money, whether you're single, married, whether you don't have money or you do have money. It's something that every single person deals with. A lot of topics that we talk about, you know, may not be able to relate because you're not a parent or you're not leading this or that. But money is something that every person is going to deal with. Like, for better or for worse, we have to deal with money as a group. So going into it, and Tim, you touched on this a little bit, but let's talk about what giving is not for the church. So a couple things I think it's good to just lay out there. And even talking to like little kids about this, it's just funny how they view tithing too and that. But tithing, giving to the church is not the church tax that you're required to pay. Some people think about it that way.
Membership fees.
Membership fees. yeah, no, exactly. And we're so used to that today too. It's not a way to earn God's love in the way that we give. It's not how God measures us on how we give. It's also not a fixed number or a performance metric for your life, too. So we want to be careful on how we're actually viewing tithing. Now, these are all very clear and easy to say. But I was even like in prepping for this, like convicted in my own heart. And one of the reasons like I really wanted to touch base on this class was you hear me from the front. I won't push you guys to like, hey, we need to have donations. But I do push a lot like, hey, we need to have regular giving. And it needs like if you can do it online, that's a great way to do it. Put it in there. It goes in monthly or that. A lot of times when we do that, it can kind of feel like a tax or it just feels like that next item on the credit card. So I think talking about it and thinking about what actually is behind giving and how we should do it. So giving is not exclusive to the church. Like there's a lot of nonprofits out there. There's a lot of people asking for money. And in the world, a lot of times what giving is to them is, the two main things that they look at is there's an obligation. Like you should do this because it's the right thing for you to do. You should give to the Red Cross because you have money and there's people who need it. So there's like an obligation there. Or they'll talk a lot about needs. Like there's a huge need there. You should be donating to this organization or that organization because they have a need and you have the resources to provide that need for them. When we think about giving in the church, it's radically different than we see just in the world and in the nonprofit sector. So we look at it, why is obligation different in the church? Why does it not necessarily apply for the church? Obligation, if we're obligated to give to the church, it shows off us as how obedient we are. Joy in giving shows off how great and what we are investing in. So a great example, I was reading this book and on the back of your guys' handout, there's like a little picture of it. I ordered a bunch of copies and of course they're coming in tomorrow, not Saturday like they said they were. But it's a great book. I'm going to have them next week if people want to look at it. But Jamie Dunlap, who also did the book that I talked about last week about church budgeting, also does one of those little pamphlets. You guys, we had them for like politics. There's other ones in there from Nine Marks. He has one about why you should give to the church. And he gave some great examples. I really loved it. I learned a lot from going through there. But one of the great examples he gave was, this was him talking about his wife. He says, my wife is an amazing cook. And she cooks breakfast, and it's great. And when my kids come in there and eat breakfast, they get excited. They talk about how great the food is. You see smiles on their face, and it speaks a lot to her talents and who she is as a cook when they see that. Now, my kids also, if she cooks something that they don't like, they still don't make a big fuss about it. They sit there, they eat the food, and they're obedient in that, and they don't complain, and they still do it. But when they're doing that, it speaks a lot more to their obedience than it does to her as who she is, and who she is as a cook, as she is as a mom, is that. And so even looking at how we approach the obligation in there, if we're only giving because we feel obligated to do that, the biggest thing that shows off is just us. Like, we're fulfilling our obedience. We're really good at being obedient. And so being careful, church is different than that. It's not just an obligation. Also, need. Like I said, most nonprofits are filling a need that they have. Like we talked about in that major statement that we said at the beginning, is that God doesn't need our money. All things belong to God. God has never needed money. He's never been in a situation where he's like, oh, I need humans to provide because I can't. So it's not based on a need when we look at the church. So we have the opportunity when we give to highlight God. We have an opportunity to be a part of this. And so God doesn't need our money. He wants our hearts. And that's part of what we're really going to focus on today, is how giving is really an issue of the heart and what it looks like when we're actually giving. So, outline for today, we're going to cover these three main areas: why we give, where we should give, and how we should give. So those are the main areas. They should kind of be highlighted on there. So why do you give? And I think they had an exercise in the book, and this is what I like. What we're talking about today is not just for me and my experience or what I've seen at Witten. I've tried to pull it for some great pastors, and Jamie Dunlap does a great job of just trusted advice. And that's the other thing that's kind of a danger in here, is just giving advice on what's right or wrong. Like, we want to come from the Bible and look at what Scripture teaches us about it. So this is all great advice from him. So why do we give? There's four sections we're going to focus on this, why we give. We give for our hearts. We give for our reward, for our discipline, and for God's glory. So for your heart, last week we talked a lot about Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Matthew 19:6-19 through 21 is what we're going to read through today. So I'd like to see, can somebody open to that? Or I think I've actually put it on that worksheet for you guys to read there. Can somebody read that for us?
Yeah, I will. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be.
Okay. So, tell me a couple of things that you see kind of in this verse about giving and treasures and where they are. Can anybody highlight some things that they see in there? There's a connection there, definitely. We see where your treasure is, there is where your heart is also. And then there's two places that they're kind of talking about here.
Heaven or earth.
Yeah, heaven and earth. So we're seeing two contradictions here. We're seeing what is valuable on earth, what is valuable in heaven, and then we're also seeing this connection between where your treasure is, that is where your heart is also. Our hearts are a reflection of what we treasure, and vice versa. What we treasure also shows where our heart is at and reflects a lot of what's in there. And just like we talked about our budget as a church, we want to it reflects who we view God as, what we see is important to him and how we see him. It's the same thing when it comes to how we treasure things here on earth or here in heaven. So storing up treasures in heaven protects our hearts from holding on to the treasures of earth. What does giving say about your heart? It's a depiction of what we value. And we can value the things that are here on earth, or we can value future things, kingdom work. God wants you to give your money because he wants your heart. And he gives us the opportunity to invest in kingdom things, not because he needs it, because he knows it grows our heart and it shows what we value. And it also shows the world that we value things that are beyond what are here on earth. God wants us to get. God wants your money because he wants your heart. He doesn't want us to focus in on how much we're giving, but the mindset and the heart behind how we're giving. A great statement in here that Jamie said in his book was, God asks you to give because he wants your heart. He wants your desires, he wants your dreams, he wants your affections, he wants your ambitions to be built on him and his promises. And we think about this in a lot of ways of how we view God. We think about, we want our desires, we want our dreams, and money is the same way. It reflects that. And next week, we're going to be focusing a little bit more on stewardship and how it looks in our whole life, and we're going to kind of view out on that. But even today, we want to say, you know, even as we look at our money, God values how we're spending that and looks at our lives, not because he needs it, but because it's a huge reflection of how we're viewing him, and it's a huge litmus test of our hearts. For your reward, and then I kind of crossed out your. A lot of times in, you know, prosperity gospel, and you'll hear messages where people say, if you just give a little bit more, God's going to bless a little bit more. If you're not being blessed, it's because you don't have faith, and you just need to give a little bit more. Anybody who's teaching that is teaching false doctrine. But it's not necessarily untrue that there is reward with giving, but it's really on that kingdom side that we see. It's the treasures in heaven. And what we're doing, the reward that we are investing in, is in the future, in something that we're not necessarily using or seeing right now, but in what the Lord provides later and in kingdom work. We're trading treasures of today, treasures of the earth, for gospel work and for the future. I like this statement that he had in there. He said, you can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. I think that's really cool. When we invest our money in the future, in kingdom work, it says something to the world. It says that we value more what comes later than investing in what we have right now. And it gives a testament to who God is and makes us stand out and different than what the world sees around us, around them. For discipline, why do we give? It's a great discipline of our heart, and it teaches us to be deliberate and to be working with our money for God. Just like we were talking about, all areas of our life should be representing who God is and working towards him. We want to learn to be deliberate with our money. So even in the parable of the talents that we talked about last week, we don't want to be ambivalent with our money either. We can just say, well, money doesn't last. We can't take it with us. I don't really care about money. I don't think about money. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal in that we all have to deal with it, and we all have it. And when we look at that parable of the talents too, the Lord gave resources to each of those servants, and there was an ambivalent one who said, didn't care about it. We're supposed to be deliberate, and we do get a worship, and we do get a serve through our giving. So it's a good discipline for us to learn of growing us, of growing how we view God, of how we incorporate that in our life, and how we view our money. We have the opportunity to invest in the kingdom, and I think we should look at that as a goal, as a metric for a life that we want to build towards. And then lastly, and I think most importantly, why do we give? For God's glory. We talked about how obedience sometimes can look and show our glory or ourselves, but for God's glory, that is why we truly give, because when we give, it shows off God. How does it show off God? John Piper, he's used it in a lot of his books, but he uses this example of giving his wife flowers. If he went to his wife and he gave her flowers and said, here's flowers, I gave them to you because I just felt like I was obligated to, or I really should, or most husbands give their wives flowers. Like, that wouldn't show off her. If I told that story about my wife, nobody would say, like, oh, it sounds like you really love your wife, or you guys have a great relationship. You give your wife flowers because you value her, because you're excited, because you're so engrossed in this person that you are excited to do that. You're in love. And the same thing is true with giving. When we're giving and it doesn't make sense to the world, when we're excited about God, when we are just so passionate about what the Lord's doing and our hearts are so engrossed with that, it gives so much glory to God. Not the amount that we're giving, but the heart and the attitude behind that just speaks so greatly of God's joy, or joy in God. We proclaim it in how we talk with our friends, in how we share with the lost, and it's also in how we give our money. Like, we do this in all ways. We talk about how we live our lives shows God and how we talk with our friends about it, but same thing with our money. Our money should show how we value God and how he's important to us. God is better than anything else I could have done with my money, and that's what we're saying every time we are giving to God. Ultimately, giving is not simply about meeting needs or an expression of faith, but about glorifying God with what he's given us. When Christians give joyfully, sacrificially through the church, it shows something of the worthiness of God, the gospel, and the community of the redeemed. So if we were to summarize just why we give, it's really because it's all about this relationship that we have with God. It should reflect how our heart gives. It should reflect how we see God. It is an opportunity for us to grow closer in our relationship, and it should. Giving should be an exciting litmus test and beautiful part of how our relationship with God works. Not just a tax, not just a membership. And again, that's where, again, for even for me, I'm someone who gives on the credit card that does it monthly. It's hard to do this sometimes and view giving like that when it's just something that comes out of your credit card. Don't change that. We need you to donate credit cards and to do it on a regular basis. But I'm hoping it by going through this class is that we are re-excited, reinvigorated with how that works in our lives and spending time actually meditating, enjoying, and working towards God in giving. So where do we give? Where should I give? So when we're looking through the scriptures and we see how the local church is highlighted, and especially when it's tied in with giving, the local church is the primary context for discipleship and missions. And if we're looking at our hearts and being called, like in Matthew or even here in Ephesians, we're to focus in on the local church, discipleship, going out, making disciples, and growing them. So the local church is one of the primary contexts, or especially when they're talking about tithing, where it applies. Now, there are other needs in the world. We have natural disasters that happen. We have a lot of different things. But in the context of how we are giving to God, it is mainly focused in giving to the local church. One of the verses here, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity and the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And when we look too, when we talked last week about what's the goal of the local church, we said the goal of the local church is in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the ages." So when we look at how we're structuring our life, how we're giving, the local church should be a major component of that. What does giving in the local church embrace? We talked about this a lot last week, but teaching and preaching the word. The local church works in discipleship and shepherding ministries. The local church includes mercy and benevolence, and it also includes local and global missions. And it's also structured in a way that we have leaders that are overseeing that and working towards those goals. So why should it be a priority for us, the local church? The local church is hopefully where you are getting a majority of your teaching and growing. And being a part of a local church, funding that part of your life is important. We also see a huge focus in the New Testament, in the Gospels, in the letters from Paul, of that local church. And when he's calling, it's for the work that the local church is doing there. Now, things have changed a lot, and we've spread stuff out. Now we have global missions, we have local missions. So it's not exclusively to the local church, but a local church is, when we're hearing those letters, it's this local group that is working on that mission that we're called to in Matthew. So focusing in on the local church is a huge aspect of our giving. And we see the importance of that. It is also an area that we have submitted to wise leaders, and trusting that they are looking at those things and that we are investing our money well. If you can't trust your church with your money, why are you trusting it with your soul? You don't necessarily have to agree with everything that the church spends their money on. If you're upset about how much Jordan's spending on donuts, like, it's okay.
More donuts.
The local church will not be perfect with money all the time, but it is. Like, we are entrusting our souls, our leadership, we're submitting to them. There's a lot of wisdom in what the local church is doing. And so that collective coming together and doing those things is a really strong point for why investing in the local church should be a huge part of our giving. So how do we give? The two areas are regularly and proportionally. So when we look at regularly giving, 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredited by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me." And then we also see in 2 Corinthians 9:7, "The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." So kind of highlighted them there, but what are you seeing as, how do these two verses, or these two sections of scripture, highlight giving regularly? First day of every week, it's something that's set aside. Putting aside money, having it ready. He says, so that when I come, I don't have to ask for this big collection, but it's something that has been built into what you are doing. And also in 2 Corinthians 9:7, he says, each of you must give as he has decided in his heart. So it's something that, even in that idea of budgeting or working through or figuring out, it's something set aside in our heart that we've worked through and gone towards. And then proportionally, so 1 Corinthians 16:2, same verse there. It says on there, as he may prosper. So there's this idea of as you prosper, you should give. And if you've been given a little, you should give a little. And if you've been given a lot, you should give a lot. And we even see verses in there about 10%. It was never like a strict number on there. It was like a percentage of what you give. So as you get more, you should give more. If you're in struggling times, you may give less, but it should be a regular proportional part of what the Lord has blessed you with. Four great questions that Jamie put in his book, and I'll be totally honest with you, I was personally convicted too reading these ones. So if we read them, don't feel like I'm coming down on you, because I read these and I'm like, oh, I think I need to look at my heart a little bit too and just how the Lord works with giving. But some good questions as you're thinking about what does that actually look. And if we're saying it's not these strict numbers or this exact thing you need to do, here's some good questions just to ask yourself or ask your spouse or work through as a family. Am I giving enough that it affects our hearts? If giving is supposed to be a heart issue that excites us, convicts us, that is connected to there, am I giving an amount that that affects my heart in a way? Second one here, this one I thought was really interesting. Does anyone else know what I give? Now, one of the number one things we kind of talk about is like giving should not be a prideful thing, and there's a secrecy to it because we don't want it to be people comparing to each other. But also in life, if I'm struggling with something, I'm going to talk to a brother about it. Also, if I'm excited about something, I'm going to talk to a brother or a spouse about it. How often do we talk or get excited about what the Lord's doing with our finances and how we talk with other people about that? And that's not like, hey, what are you giving? I'm giving this much, that. But like, there's a lot of times I've enjoyed meeting with Eric and Jordan on the finance team, because a lot of times we're talking about like what the Lord's doing or how we're giving. Never about what we're giving, but it's always about like the excitement that we have with that. And even Rob and I are good friends. And a lot of times we're talking about, I'm like, hey, so are you involved with any not like organizations? Like he's like, oh yeah, we're working with Hope Women's Center right now. We're really excited. We do some giving stuff to them. And I'm like, well, I'm looking for this. Like there's also this excitement about being involved with different ministries. And it may not be like, what are you giving to? But again, if our hearts should reflect what's important to God and we're going out with local missions, if we're going out in the church, our hearts, our money should reflect that. And even our conversations about what is going on in our lives. So again, it's not about how, but are you talking about with other people and getting excited about where you're involved with? Resource-wise, service-wise, money-wise. Or if you're struggling with that, is that something that you could be talking to somebody else about? If you don't feel like you have a budget in place where you are able to give well right now, or that's not a part, maybe it is something to talk with someone about. Like, we're just struggling and I can't get excited about giving. It's actually like a stumbling block for me right now. That's something that I think we're called to talk with other Christians about when we are struggling with those things. What is the minimum proportion that I always want to give to the church? So, not saying that that number is exactly 10%, but have you sat down and thought about it? And this was for me too, and I was thinking about it. Like, when I look at my life, what do I really want? What's that minimum that I want to be giving to the local church on a regular basis? Whether I'm super rich, whether I'm super poor, like, what is that goal for me and Aaron as we look at our budget, as we look at our life of what we want to do in there? And again, Jamie says in here, 10% is a really good starting point on there. But it's important for us, I think, just like we said, if our heart values it, is to be regularly involved. And it says a lot in our budget, to our family, to our spouses too, when we're saying this is important enough that we want to set it aside as a regular budget item. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big budget person. I don't budget, even though I'm on the budget team. I don't budget a lot at home, but giving is the one area where I think it's really good to like sit down and really budget and think about where is the Lord calling us to spend our money. Yeah, I may not be watching every receipt for how much we're spending at fast food versus what we're spending on insurance or those things. But even if you're not a big budget person on that side, which we'll talk a little bit more about next week, like budgeting how you give and how that works in there is a really important element. I would say if you don't budget, at least be focusing in that as a conversation for your family, for your spouse, and for yourself. And then also it can be on the other side. Am I giving so much that I'm not being faithful in other areas? We are still called, even though we're donating to the local church and we come up with a regular number on there. Are we, and maybe you say, well, I'm going to give 30%, but oh, I'm not going to treat that new guy to coffee, or I'm not going to invite that family over for dinner down the street who doesn't know Christ because I don't have the money to do that right now. Like, we need to be looking at all areas of our life. And I think there is this consistency and regularity to donating to the church, but how are we also in our lives generous? How does the world see how we spend our money? And we got to be thinking about both of those things. So I hope from taking this class, we don't get hung up on, here's this exact percentage, here's this, but don't just set up the online giving and call it good, because giving is not about the money that's going in there. It's about the heart behind it, what's moving inside of there. Spend time as a couple, even if it's only once a year. Sit down, look at like, okay, how's the Lord blessed us this year? What does our income look like? What has been important to us? Another huge thing that we do as leaders, even on our budget team, is after the elders present the members meeting notes and like saying, hey, here's what we're going to do as a church this year. We're going to be looking at local missions and we're focusing on holiness and purity and one-on-one relationships in the church. We're going to sit down as leaders in the finance side and go, how does our budget support those and move towards those things? It's a great thing too for you guys in our own lives. If the church says, hey, we're focusing on one-on-one discipleship, holiness and purity, even sitting down and going, okay, we're giving this much to church, but I also want to set aside, you know, $5 a week for you, $5 for me. Let's make sure we're setting aside some money so that I'm going out for coffee with one guy a week or every other week to talk about those things. But build that idea of your heart, your money, and God all being connected in our everyday lives. So, in summary, giving is an act of worship. God cares about our hearts, not our money. And we are called to give to the local church in those forms. So, I'm going to invite Jordan and Eric, because we kind of talked about in this class, what we're going to do is first half of the class, or first 40 minutes again, is going to be focused on kind of the theology. And then I'd love to do is the second half or second third of the class is to focus in on how we do that at Witten or some examples of how people do that. So if Eric and Jordan are both on the finance team, Jordan is the deacon of finance. He took that over and split my position, and now I'm deacon of admin. And then Eric has been involved with us on the finance team for 4 years, 5 years, something like forever. We're going to, the three of us are going to answer some of these questions, and then feel free, this is a great time if you have follow-up questions inside of there to ask some of the follow-up questions. So, what if I don't feel like giving? This was a new one I added, so it's not on your guys' list. I'll answer that one first because I didn't warn them about that. What if I don't feel like giving? Like, we're supposed to give, it's about our hearts, and what if my heart's just not there right now? Like, I'm not feeling it. Does that mean that I shouldn't give? When I was reading through this and some of the advice I saw in there and then just reading scripture is, like, we trust in God's promises. And if our hearts are a reflection of our treasures and what we treasure is that, like, sometimes we just need to move on faith too. Like, if you're not feeling it right now, it's start giving and pray and work in that for how the Lord builds our heart in that. And so even when we don't feel like giving, I would encourage you, like, it's not about the money, it's about the heart. So keep building that. Okay. Is 10% required?
I mean, as you mentioned earlier in your discussion, it's not necessarily required, and it's not a number that we go and calculate from a, like, a giving perspective, like, is everyone giving 10%? But that is, it can be something, like, especially when we factor in, like, the budget for the year and giving for the year and, like, how many people are at our church in terms of, like, membership. We don't like to start with, like, 10%, go from there, but it is a number we kind of consider. But no, it is not, like, the required, like, you to be a member, you should be giving 10%. Back to, like, Greg's point, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of, I mean, as you even talked about in that 1 Corinthians passage of, like, as you prosper. And that, more of that consideration versus, like, oh, I'm only giving 5% or I'm only giving 9%. It's like 10% might be a nice round number. And as a CPA, I like nice round numbers. But no, it's not the requirement.
Yeah. I think it's a great starting point. But Jordan brought up a great point, too. That's a lot how we budget, too, in the church. And actually how we keep ourselves accountable. So we have a budget of roughly $400,000. We have roughly 100 members. So when we're doing our budget, we're like, okay, there's 100 members, 400,000, that's roughly $4,000 per member is what we're trying to do. Part of the reason that we do that is, are we being reasonable with our budget too? That would be like around $8,000 per couple. Does an average family make around $80,000? Not everybody. Some make a lot less, some make a lot more. But we don't want to build a budget that says, oh, we're kind of expecting all of our members to be giving 20% or 30%. But we're also saying, we want to push our congregation too. Part of our membership statement is be a regular giver because we believe that is an important part of our relationship. It doesn't say give 10%, but it says we're working inside of there. So those are one of the areas that's how we build the budget on there too. So I would just encourage people think about not fulfilling a 10% number, but using that as a good guideline when you're thinking about things. Okay. What if I have debt or financial stress? Eric, I'm going to turn that one over to you.
Okay.
Not because Eric has a bunch of debt.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can discuss that later. Yeah, well, I would say first off, if you have, like, debt or financial stress, then, like, find someone in the church you trust on those issues and meet with them. Maybe they can help kind of get you in line on those things or just show you a better way. But it also... So I would say it doesn't negate what God has called us to at the same time. So,
yeah, I think some of the best stories and best examples that we see in the Bible are those without a lot of money or those that are struggling. And that even, I think, speaks so huge to like what is valued in our hearts. And again, it is kind of a separate issue than even how much money we make or how little money we make. It's really about how we're viewing God, how we trust God, how we value God inside of there. But on the flip side, if you're struggling with those things or it feels like, and that's getting in the way of you being able to enjoy giving, talk with another member, find somebody to be accountable with that. That isn't the finance team's job because we're focusing on the church, but also like we'd love to like encourage you or connect you with someone too, like if that's a struggle in your guys' life. Jordan, can I give time instead of money?
Yes, but no.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, obviously as members, and I'm speaking to specifically members of Whitten Avenue in this sentence, because as our membership covenant says, we commit to one, regular giving, and also to serving the local church and serving each other. And so I think it's both. It's not one or the other. If it's one, the reflection of your heart of, I can just serve in time because I don't have enough money to give. Well, God calls us to give money, yes, but two, also of our time. And that looks like from serving in kids ministry or serving a church member by helping them move on a weekend or serving in different aspects of the church. I mean, obviously we have different committees and different groups here at Whitten that you can, there's a lot of ways to serve your time and money and time. I would say both. It's not a one or the other.
No, I think that's a really great point. And what helped me when I was kind of working through that question too was flipping it around. If someone came and said, oh, I'm going to give a lot of money because I just don't have time to serve with you guys. Like I would also approach them and be like, hey, there's kind of a heart issue there. Like you can't just give money to the church. Like part of what we're called to do is to serve together. So it's a great thing of like God has called us. And we're going to focus in on this next week when we talk about stewardship in our whole life is we want to be people that are generous in giving with our time, with our relationships, with our money, with our whole lives, and keeping money as in the correct place of where that is in our lives. Why do we push so hard for regular giving? Why not just at the end of the year? Jordan.
Thank you.
I mean, if we go back to that verse, it says, I can speak to one, how that verse speaks to, two, how I do it personally. But like, obviously it says once a week, set aside some money. And it even said in there, like, so that there's not a collection, so that it's already set aside. So this is like in your priorities, this is like a part of what you're doing is a regular routine in your week from, you got to pick up groceries every week, you got to do this and that every week. Like it's a regular routine of a part of your natural routine to give to your local church. And I think that's why the regular aspect is from a finance side, like obviously the church has expenses every week and every month. So from that aspect, but two, from like your aspect as a giver, it's like I'm setting aside money to pay off my debt. I'm setting aside money to pay for groceries every week. It's like, or every month or every other week or after every paycheck, whatever it looks like for you personally. That aspect of regularly, I think from my perspective, what one, in terms of the heart issue and two, like what scripture calls us to is like, that regular aspect speaks to a lot of, like how we value, like what God has called us to like steward and like where our treasures are in my perspective.
One thing I would add to that is like, you may have a small business and you may do a lot of your accounting and it is a donation at the end of the year, or you may set up stuff like that. I think the main thing behind this is like, we want giving to be a regular part of our walk with Christ. For most people, I think that means building it into a regular budget. For some people, depending on how you work your business or how you do things, that might be still part of your regular budget, but it may be setting it aside and it does go in at the end of the year. Or you may have some great financial strategy on how that works as well. But what the main point here is that we want it to be a regular part. It's not just like, I'm going to wait for when there's an altar call, or there's this big need, then I'm going to donate in there. It should be a regular part of our regular walk with God and regular part of being a part of the local church.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point there too, because like, obviously we've kind of talked about and hit on at Whitten, we don't typically have like a set time or a set rotation and like in our church service of like talking about tithes and talking about offerings. So it's like that aspect of it being, to this point of like regular, like one, it causes you to think about it on a regular basis, and obviously there's the other aspect that you talked about, but two, like, it just builds it in every month of, like, okay, it's not something that comes up on a regular basis necessarily, like, every Sunday at church. It's like, I have it regularly in my, whether it's weekly, monthly, every other week, something like that. It just builds into, like, that regularity of, this is something I'm called to do and doing.
And I'll be honest with you, I used to be a once-a-year giver, especially being a small business owner. Like, that was a big thing for me. I found for myself, I struggled a little bit at the end of the year not having joy with it necessarily, because it was like, oh, I'm trying to figure out taxes, I'm trying to figure this out. It didn't feel as joyful in there. And so splitting it up during the year, and I still do separate things with different things, but that really helped me for my heart specifically in there. So there are some people that, like, it won't affect their heart, and that might be a really good way to do it. But this is just, like, good general advice. I think it really helps to build it as a regular part, if, especially if you're struggling with the joy side of it.
Does that go to the discipline part, right? Like, if you go to the gym every week, it's easier to do a big lift at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Just doing that big, you're going to be pretty sore after that.
Yeah, or the same thing. If you do a crash course at the end of the year and you try to get in all your church and all your study and all that kind of stuff, like, building it as part of our regular life, I think, is just a good discipline of how we build ourselves as Christians. So,
where are you going now? You got, like, questions on here that you have been asking and questions on there that you are asking.
Who actually, I'll give this one to Eric. I think you know the answer to this one. Who actually sees who gives what in the church?
Not me.
Not Eric.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. I think I'm the one that doesn't see it out of the finance team, but Greg and Jordan, I think, are the only two that actually see it.
Yeah.
So elders don't see it. Just these two guys, so.
So Eric, myself and Jordan are the only two people in the church that actually see the giving. And I will also say, if you give online, we really don't see what you're giving, because it just we have annual reports that come in and stuff, but it's not like we deposit a check and see, oh, this check's being deposited, I see a name on there. So that's also another reason I love online giving, because it gives us even one more separation to that. Now, we do our annual statements, we do reports, and we try to, like, look at what's coming in and what's being given. So we do see that stuff, but it is only Jordan and I in the church who see those things, because we do think there's a lot of benefit to less people knowing what's going on.
And it helps protect our elders too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to talk about that. But.
And that's a weird, because less people knowing what's going on in finances, it's usually a bad way to talk about finances, because technically when it comes to money, it's better to have more people involved in terms of some things, but in this aspect, yes, it is like obviously we want to talking about knowing how much you give. Do other people know how much you give? That's a good question to ask. It's like, well, if it's like a specific brother or sister, like, you've worked with, or you, like, feel trust in, to, like, talk about that. But obviously, in terms of the church, we don't have, like, our deacons and elders meetings. We don't, like, bring up the giving every week to see who's giving. That does not happen, just for everyone's clarity.
Can I ask a quick follow-up?
Sure, yeah.
I totally trust you guys. I'm not asking this question because I don't. But how do you take care of your own hearts? Because sometimes, occasionally, seeing what others give could maybe weigh on you. Or, like, so how do you care for your own hearts together as the two brothers that see that information once in a while?
Yeah. So personally for me, is I really try not to focus on it or have it as a big part of, like, what I'm looking in there. And even when I do look at it, I try to look at it in, like, a very big picture retrospective way. So one of the things that Jordan and I do is we do give reports to the elders of how much is coming in, how much comes on average for a giving unit is what we would call it. We give a report once a year to the elders of, like, how much is coming from different age demographics. So we know, like, it's 90% of our money coming from 70 plus, and that might not be there 10 years from now. But so that helps me. One of the things we do is we have an Excel sheet. It exports from there, and it has everybody listed on there. And the first thing I do is I hide all the numbers that people give, and I assign everybody as a single person, a family, age demographic. And then I delete their names, and then I look at the numbers. And then I can kind of see, oh, we have 10 people giving this much, and we have 5 people. Those are things I try to do to protect my heart and not see as much. And even when I'm doing, what's nice about all the online stuff, even our accounting is online, it automatically emails you guys your donation receipts on there. And that kind of goes into another good question. Do leaders give more attention to people who give more? Do they give more leniency to people who give more? And I'll answer this one. No, because the leaders don't know what people give in the church. And that's actually one of the reasons we want to protect their hearts from being like, oh, we really need to be nice to this guy because he gives a lot, or that person. So elders do not know what individuals give so that they cannot, you know, succumb to that. And I think that's actually a really healthy thing to do. An elder may ask me, hey, we have a new leader coming in here, or we're looking at a new elder. Are they healthy? Like, do you feel like they're a healthy giver? Like, do they fulfill that part of their membership as if we're going to have them be an elder? They may say, are they giving well or giving? And I'll say, yeah, but that's the most information that I would give to an elder on an individual. The other thing they may say is like, hey, we lost a couple people this year. We gained a couple people this year. Are you worried about if we need to adjust our budget for that? Those would be like types of information that we give to our elders. But it really helps our elders focus on the heart, the direction of the church, leadership, and not the people and what they're giving, but like the people in their hearts, which I think is really valuable to do.
Okay, yeah. Well, like you said, asking about like leadership and if they're giving, but what about like cash? Or you said you didn't know if people were giving.
Well, so I still have access to what everybody would be giving in the church, because if you want a tax receipt on that, it has to be recorded in the system so that you can get that. Now, somebody may donate $100 and it gets dropped in the offering box, and that's considered an anonymous donation, and so we don't see that. But again, we take turns taking donations, so even if I see one check come in here, I don't know if they're giving every week or once a month, because Jordan's collecting it the next week or there. So we're really trying to be careful of like, we don't want our hearts focused in on that. And what's also really cool is like when we look at our number of giving units and we look at that, our church gives pretty regular. I would say almost all of our members give regularly. And that's exciting. And we don't have to worry about our people giving. And it's not really our responsibility to dig in there or to bug people about that. But at the end of the year, when we're doing donations, it's encouraging to see, wow, the church is giving. And not the amounts, but like, oh, I've talked with other finance teams and it's like, oh, about 50% of our members give, or 60%. And like when I tell them, no, I think pretty much 100% of our members give in some shape or form. They're like, that's cool. That's unique. And so that's why we're not here to say, hey, you guys need to give more, you need to do this. But I'm like, commend our church, like this is good, but it's also something that we need to keep centered in our own lives of like how we do that faithfully. We already all give, but how do we like build that into how we build ourselves as good Christians spiritually? Should I care about giving from a tax standpoint? I would say you shouldn't give because something is a tax write-off. But you should also be really wise with your money. And I would say it should be just like it's a conversation with your spouse. Like, it should be a conversation with your tax guy when you're doing taxes. Like looking at that, this should be a part of all parts of that. And there are some unique things with taxes that you can do. But also, like, that's also why we are super careful on the church side. We want to be really careful tax-wise. We don't want to do anything that's not legit either. So sometimes if we say, hey, we're not going to accept your 1950 Buick or whatever it is, because we're nervous, like tax-wise, or why we sometimes say we can't just donate to this thing or pull this into the budget, because sometimes there are tax issues that we have to be careful of, and we do want to be above reproach in all areas, and we would encourage our members to be above reproach in all areas. Okay, we only have 2 minutes left, and this is the last one I have on there, but what should I give to the local church versus other things? This is a hard one, and I would be very hesitant to even like give a number out there or encourage people, but that's why I think really focus in on our hearts. Like the local church, just like we would tell you, you need to be involved in the local church on a weekly basis. You need to be serving in the local church. You should be emotionally, spiritually involved with your local church. I think that your tithing should also reflect how you were called to be involved in the local church. And I would also look at, like, when you become a member, you are also committing to this church and the financial responsibilities that we're committing to these missions, to these local missionaries, these global missionaries, to our staff, to these buildings to keep them running. And so I would also encourage you, like, that should be, like, you're joining a group to do that together. So the local church should be, I wouldn't say your only priority, but I think it should be first priority in how you give. And I would encourage you in that. Yeah, Haley?
So I know you said, like, 10% isn't a requirement. If you're like trying to aim for that as like a wise standard, do you see that as like the basis for local church giving, and then whatever else on top of that is what you're giving to other organizations, or is that like 10% should be what you're giving?
I would say, and this, again, I'm going to be super careful with how I say this too, because I don't, like, I can't give you a Bible verse. All I can do is, like, give you wisdom on how, like, from what I've read or from what I've seen or how I've been encouraged. I think 10% is a really good spot to start with the church. I think it's great to give to other organizations above that. I think what's more important is coming up with a consistent amount that you are giving to the local church of what your percentage is that you want from that, and then finding different opportunities to give to different organizations. I would encourage people, like, one of the ways I think of it, and I'm not saying this is 100% the correct way, but I do look at, like, if I'm committing to this church and I'm, me and Aaron and I are 2 out of 100, like, am I striving towards that percentage of the church body there? And maybe I can make it, maybe I can't, but I know if I don't make that, somebody else is covering that in the church too. So that's one of the areas I'm like, if you meet that, and you have, like, that's what the church needs. I also have members in the church where I say, give regularly, but don't give, like, if you're going to give other gifts, like, stick to a regular amount, and if other gifts come in, but we want that to be a regular part of your giving. If that's what you're going to, sorry. So does that kind of answer your question? I would be hesitant on there, but I would say we should give well to the local church. It should be a major part of it. And I think the Lord calls us in lots of other unique ways, whether it's one-time gifts, whether it's regular, or the Lord's leading on your hearts. But I see how involved everybody is in our church, just spiritually in our church. I would encourage you that money is a good reflection of that too. Yeah.
So this wasn't actually talked about, but like first fruits versus what you have, meaning do I tithe pre-tax, post-tax?
Great question.
Because I know that can be a question in some people's minds, and there's a lot that the Bible says about your first fruits and things like that.
Yeah. I'd probably be hesitant to give like a strong answer on that. I think that really is between you and the Lord. But I think what I would typically look at is I look at what I have that I need to budget on how I'm spending. So I look at what money I have to spend, and I make sure that that proportion is going to the church or that. So could you look at that pre-tax or post-tax? I think that's really between you and the Lord on how you do that. And I may be incorrect, correct, or wrong, or maybe it doesn't matter. But I think, again, I would say that's between you and the Lord probably. Any other questions? Okay, next week we're going to focus in on stewardship across the board, our whole lives. Also, if you have other questions, or if you think of a question like, hey, I'd love for you to answer this next week, feel free to email us on that. But appreciate everybody in here. And appreciate you guys listening. Going through it.